What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, FightfulSelect.com. Fightful.com. This is our Q&A show. It's been a while since we had this traditional format. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. So last week we did a Reckless Speculation podcast, and before that we did a couple of live shows. We had Jimmy doing a couple of Q&As before that even. So I feel like over the past five, six weeks, there's been like one traditional show, and these usually take me a couple hours to film. Hell if I know why, but they do. But even this one's going to be a little bit different because there's so much breaking news. And I feel like if I waited until the backstage report on Sunday or Monday, that really wouldn't be fair to our subscribers because we had so much of this news. I had the news of Mark Carano being fired about an hour before we dropped it. But man, it was such an evolving situation. And let's go ahead and get right into it. So here's what happened. There were already talent relations shakeups. I don't know if this was a planned one. Mark Carano's role was already so much less than what it had been. Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, had taken that over, and he was the one that made the release calls last week. Now, talent, not just Mickey James, many talent that were released last week got their belongings and some of other people's belongings in trash bags on Thursday. And Mickey James was very outspoken about it and tweeted about it. And she wasn't the only one. And this is not a new thing, although it's not a unanimous thing either. I've been told in the past people have received their stuff in trash bags, some in boxes, although it was specified to me by multiple talent. It's not across the board all the time. They don't know if it's a concentrated effort. But Nicole Zioli, John Cohn, Dan Engler were all removed from their talent relations spots this week. But those happened on Tuesday, I'm told. John Cohn's still with the company. Dan Engler's still with the company. I don't know about Nicole Zioli. I know that Joe Villa, who is in their PR department, was in their PR department, is now gone. He was well-liked by much of the media. I didn't get to work with him very much, but he was always really great when I spoke with him. But WWE, I can tell you, multiple sources all the way up, they were ashamed, embarrassed, legitimately like bothered, grossed out by the fact that these talent were sent stuff in trash bags. So I know it's easy for a lot of people to sit there and say, oh, well, they don't care, they don't care. At least in the way that it was reflected to me, they were very bothered by this, and they were very upset about this, and it's something they wanted to get ahead of and take care of and wanted to let that talent know that even though things may have not worked for them there, they were valued more than that as people. And this was relayed to me by several people high up in the company that were not happy about this and were said that it's unfortunate, it's very embarrassing, this is not something that reflects how I feel, how we feel. I feel like that's important for me to say out there, because I mean, I haven't exactly shied away from criticizing WWE for their handling of this and the way that they handled their programs in general, but they were not happy about this at all. So Johnny Ace made calls to talent that and they were apologized to by Johnny Ace directly. Some of those calls featured Johnny Ace saying that Mark Carano was to blame and the situation was taken care of. However, it was not explicitly stated in those conversations Mark Carano was fired. And I hope you guys understand, I can't operate on that from a reporting standpoint by saying Mark Carano's been fired, because there's a difference in Mark Carano's to blame and it's been taken care of, and then Triple H saying the person responsible has been fired. I, of course, can connect those dots, but until I get it from somebody and then multiple people on the record, I can't run with it. And I did get it from somebody off the record, but it took about a solid 10-15 minutes after that before I could get people to go on the record. And then when a couple did, the dominoes started to fall and it was everybody. And I can tell you from former talent, it was celebratory. There's a whole lot of former talent that do not like Mark Carano. I did not have one former talent reach out and say, man, it's a shame Mark Carano's gone. Don't want to dance on anybody's grave, anything like that. But, you know, that was what I experienced. That was how it happened. Now, adding and compounding to the trash bag issue, there were multiple instances this year where talent that was no longer with the company got sent other people's stuff. And I know that that happened at least once this go around. It's happened again another time this year, and WWE arranges to have that sent back. But WWE was not happy about this whatsoever. Like, not at all. And rightfully so. It makes them look terrible. And shortly after all that came out, it was revealed that Mark Carano is out of WWE. Now, I did have someone say, it's very possible that he'll be out of WWE and he'll go without an official firing, but without having real duties. But I think by now, with how many people know it, if he's not gone already, he's probably going to be. I reached out to people in WWE. They were very remorseful for this situation. WWE has not officially confirmed it to me or to anybody else in that regard, but Vince McMahon just this afternoon said, we have the best management we've ever had. Yikes. I don't know if that was in response to them getting rid of so many people or whatever, but this did not emerge until after the quarterlies for a reason. I'll say that much. This has happened in the past. I think this is probably just the first time it was put out there publicly. And I feel like if it was put out there publicly before, it probably wouldn't have happened again. But it wasn't, at least to my knowledge. But there has been talent in the past that this has happened to. They've reached out to me and told me as much. I don't think this will ever happen again, but damn, shouldn't have happened to begin with. Just from an optic standpoint, that doesn't make any sense to do. It's disrespectful. It's literally an inference that somebody is trash. You've got a what I would assume is a world-class PR department that if they knew about this, they'd say, no, don't do that shit. So I get the feeling that it was just one of those things that went overlooked for so long. This is me with a hunch right here. This isn't a report. I get the feeling it's one of those things that went overlooked so long and just nobody mentioned it. And that's why it kept happening. Because I feel like if any of the PR guys that I've ever experienced there would have known this, they would have said, that don't look good. That's bad. Let's get into the Q&A now. It's been a while, guys. Thank you all for understanding. Sometimes stuff like releases take precedent over Q&As. And again, I'm sorry that we had to abruptly change last week. So Matt says, what would you say is the most protected finisher today? End of Days, One Winged Angel. Those are the two that come to mind. I'm sure there are some that are like sneaky protected, but it's a lot easier to remember the ones that are protected from people that are pushed or like semi-pushed, you know? So like whereas somebody on AEW Dark might have a finish that nobody's ever kicked out of, it's harder to notice that than when it's on cable TV all week. Andrew Nolly says, any news on why Nikki Cross has been on TV? She could really help Raw's lack of depth. I ask that all the time, and I'm not given an answer. I've been asking that since the middle of February, or probably late February, when I noticed she hadn't been on Main Event. She has worked one singles match this year. She worked the Alexa Bliss match. Now, I don't know if this is part of some grander story. I'm going to say, no, it fucking isn't, because it never is. But if you remember, the only way that Nikki Cross even got on TV was because Alexa Bliss finally noticed her. So now that she doesn't have Alexa Bliss, maybe she can't get on TV. That's what I would do. That's the way I'd explain it. Eloquent says, do you know how long Ryu Mizunami is sticking around the U.S. for? She's awesome on Dark and Elevation. I don't. I'm surprised she stuck around this long. But hey, that's good news. Any depth that you can add to that division is good. And it's coming together, man. It is coming together fast and furious. You can see the pieces falling together, and it's doing great. Ricky says, any updates on the AEW console game? They are a long ways away. They are still actively doing face scans and all that. Who do you expect to be the first WWE releases to show up in AEW, and what else would you like to see them do? I think Tucker will pop up on Dark. I think Joe will be in AEW. I think Chelsea Green will be in AEW. I don't know about Billy and Peyton, but yeah, I think they will be for sure. What do I want to see them do? I want to see Chelsea Green immediately put into like something interesting from a character standpoint, and I want to see her on BTE. Joe is an immediate top guy right now. Put him in there. Throw him out there. He just chokes people out nonstop until he gets a title shot. Did the folks who worked WrestleMania SmackDown but not WrestleMania itself get a Mania payday? I don't know. I'll try to find out if they're going to get one. Nobody has yet that I'm aware of. But yeah, I don't think they would have yet. Bryant says, if you were a heel, what kind of promo would you cut to get under the fan's skin? It's got to be rooted in truth. It's got to be rooted in truth and play off of people's insecurities without going so far to where, one, it'll get you in shit and make people like just not want to watch the show. But it's got to be rooted in truth, and you got to be able to back it up. If there's no threat of you backing it up, I don't know if that type of heat works to the top level anymore. Brian also says, I've been watching 2015-16 PWG. I'm wondering if there's ever been a better time for independent wrestling. No, that was the golden era of independent wrestling. Really, 2015 to 2018, right before AEW started, was the best era for independent wrestling, bar none. Michael says, what do you feel are the most underrated and overrated gimmick matches? Overrated, Last Man Standing. I think they can be good, but I think they can also be very, very tedious. The most underrated, a good old-fashioned steel cage match. Danny says, interesting comments from Daniel Bryan lately. If you had to guess, do you think he re-signs with WWE or is it a 50-50 shot? I think it's 50-50 at this point. I think he's going to legitimately weigh his options. I think that he knows that he's got momentum and he's got leverage. Sean says, do you think WWE goes back to full capacity live arenas after SummerSlam? Yes, I do. I don't know if they'll fill them up, but yes, I do. Andrew says, I know this is just speculation, but do you think if WWE appreciated tag teams, the majority of the cuts wouldn't have been quote-unquote necessary? Yes, I do. I've went through the circle constantly. More money comes from more viewers. More viewers comes from the shows being more important. The shows being more important comes from the stakes being more important. The stakes being more important come from more talent being important. More talent being important comes from more talent being used, and therefore more being able to be protected is a circle. Danny says, what are the locker room morale like after the releases that took place last week? Locker room morale in WWE has not been good for quite a while. I mean, there are some people that are happy there, of course, but there are a whole lot of people that that are not thrilled with the way that things work and definitely aren't thrilled with this. Ray says, what do you make of the Rebellion logo having an Omega sign in it? Well, he's a star of the show, for better or for worse. No disrespect to the Impact roster, but yeah, he's the star of the show, and I would imagine he's going to win the titles. I would imagine, but if you got Kenny Omega available and willing to work in your roster, you do it. So yeah, it makes sense to me. Ray says, loving my new Helix. Thanks for the recommendation. Thank you. I loved mine so much, I hit him up and I was like, you know what? Let's do some business. And I was really lucky that they were like, hell yeah, let's do some business. Ray also says, now that Bad Bunny got his moment, when does Wale get his and what does that look like? I'm not sure if Wale wants to wrestle. I'm sure if Wale wanted to wrestle, he could and would do very, very good. He's got a real love for wrestling. I mean, the first time I ever talked to Wale, we were talking like, I think we were talking about New Japan briefly at like 3 a.m. at one point. Like, he's got a deep, deep love of pro wrestling. So I find that very admirable. And of course, he has done some really, really incredible things for the wrestling community, especially Wale Mania and all that. Like, man, just a good dude. So I if he ever wants to do it, I think that he'll get his shot, to be honest with you. Matt says, what are some of the most underrated luchadors or cruiserweights in the past 10 years or so? Well, I can't say that I follow Lucha Libre religiously. I mean, I do as far as the news goes, but I always liked Aerostar an awful lot in Lucha Underground. But really, I mean, that they're, you can't say Phoenix anymore, right? Tejano's one I don't think that gets enough credit in the States. He's one that stands out to me. But as far as cruiserweights, I think Leo Rush is still really underrated. I think if things would have went a lot better for him, we'd be talking about him in a much different light. Right now, MLW is just chock full of great cruiserweights. William says, can you see WWE setting up an arena-like limited seating similar to what NXT is doing for Raw and SmackDown, given the lessening of expenses from the last year? I thought they were going to after WrestleMania. I'm surprised they didn't. But, yeah, they should be doing it, I think, because the Thunderdome ain't doing it for me. The Thunderdome just is not good anymore. And bless them for trying, but it's just not good anymore. So, yeah, I think they should. And I think they will probably by, like, July. King of the North says, I think I asked on Listen Your Boy about NXT putting its best step forward. I really don't think they've had a good stretch of shows coming out of their solid takeover. Me either. You're asking what's their big money match now, in your opinion? I don't know if they have one, because they've went with the same guys at the top so many times. Like, they don't just go one match at the top. It's somebody gets their match, then they get a rematch, then they lose it, and then they chill out for 3 or 4 months, then they're right back. That's what they did with Kyle. He lost his 2 title shots. Now he's already back, because he beat Adam Cole. Okay, well, that's cool, but you had 2 shots, and I know they were against Finn Balor, but okay. As far as their big money match right now, God, it's probably Raquel and somebody. But I don't know Raquel and who. Because they haven't necessarily protected anybody to go up against her at that level. I don't think at this very given moment there is a big money match in NXT, because Raquel is very, very protected. Killer Cross or Karrion Kross is very, very protected. And everybody else has been eating some L's here and there. That's it. You got to build somebody really, really strong. So that's probably why. You got to build as many people protected as you possibly can. Reed says, any news on Roman Reigns getting new music? Thought it would be at Mania. Nope. They're working on it. So that stuff takes a lot longer than what many realize. Like, The Big E theme was approved. Okay, it wasn't approved. It was planned months before it actually happened. So, they had things that they were going to do with it well before, but they just couldn't get it cleared. They had to make little changes. When do you think main roster WWE will get crowds back for weekly television? I'll guess July. What's next for Roderick Strong? I think they're going to repackage and come back with something else. I think maybe a team group. Maybe he's taking time off. But I think that a team would work best for him. Different one. Who do you think headlines SummerSlam? Or what do you think headlines SummerSlam? Roman Reigns and Big E is what I'm going to say. Reed says, do you know more about the story behind Tim White's suicide segments in the past and why they did it? They thought it was funny. It definitely is not funny now, but they thought it was funny. Ed says, lots have been said about the lack of promotion on AEW's part for Omega Swan. Do you think there's some deeper reason for this that we're not seeing? They can't be that short-sighted, can they? I think they are. I mean, I just think they are. I see no other reason to do it, to not mention it, and like in passing. I know that Callis did it, but Shivani on commentary or something. Like, come on. Is it time to give Dustin Rhodes his flowers in the AEW Women's Division and its improvement and development? Not just him. Jerry Lynn has been helping out quite a bit with that as well, and the talent has been developing quite a bit as well, too. But there are a lot of people that are working really hard to make that happen. But Dustin Rhodes puts in an incredible amount of work for that. So yes, it is. Because it's really coming together. Sean says, do you think WWE writers and creative have been more lazy recently due to the fact there's no fans at shows to hold them accountable for the drizzling shit they put out there? Yes, 100%. Sean Murray says, I was always a huge fan of the 3D as a finisher. Why do you think no other teams have since adopted it? The Wyatt family did for a while. There have been other teams that have. But the 3D is so iconic, it's almost like, well, somebody else going to use the people's elbow, the rock bottom, the stunner? Well, eventually people did use the stunner, but it took a long time. I think it takes a long time, but eventually they will. Bob Harris says, thoughts on how close to the truth the wrestling side of Young Rock is? Bob, I will say about 50%. When I watched those few episodes, like it was very clearly based on true events. And I mean, I know that you've been a wrestling fan for a long time, Bob, and we appreciate you. I think you see it, and you probably see the same things that I do. You see things, and you're like, that's not how it happened. I remember how it happened. And that's okay. It's them trying to create an entertaining method of relaying those stories, and they spice it up a little bit, and that's okay. I mean, I think it's to catch a more broad audience than just the wrestling fan. You know what I mean? And they're doing steady numbers. They're doing right in the 2.6 to 2.8 million range. So, yeah. Glad to see you here, Bob. I always enjoy your questions and your comments on our Super Chat. So I'm really happy to see you here. Thank you for supporting us. Ed says, just curious if you've heard anything regarding Velveteen Dream lately. Is he still around at tapings and not being used? I heard that he sat in on I don't want to say a beginner's class, but one of the lesser experience classes. I heard that he sat in on it, but that he might have just been there for open ring or something, so he didn't have to come back. I heard that actually today, but I'm checking on stuff. Jake says, do you think the Mania weather could scare WWE from doing outside events in April in the future? Nope, they want those stadiums. They want those stadiums, and they're already doing LA. And they've already got the stadiums for the next 2 years, so by the time they would get scared, they would have long forgot it. Jake asks, I'm shocked or disappointed by the lack of crossover, even mentioning between AEW Impact and this relationship. I'm shocked and disappointed. It doesn't have to be them promoting the show. It can be somebody saying, and Kenny Omega's acting like this when he's defending the title this Sunday. Because it's not just Impact Rebellion. It's their AEW World Championship on the line. They should want to promote that. Aaron says, any update on SummerSlam? Yeah, they want fans there. And I think they want open air. Is WrestleMania going to be two nights moving forward? Nobody knows, really. Wrestlers are pushing for it. I can tell you that much. I'll have more on that very, very soon. Sheila says, is Triller buying Fight TV a good thing or a bad thing for the wrestling promotions that use Fight TV to stream their shows? They're being initially told that it's a good thing because they had the promotional ability of Triller behind it. Of course, I always fear stuff like this. Like, well, what if Triller comes in and they just don't even want to deal with wrestling. They don't want to even bother with it. Well, if that's the case, there's going to be an awful big market for somebody to step in. Because I remember when Fight was the Flips app, and I was talking to an AEW wrestler about this. We kind of scoffed at it. We're like, all right, we'll get it. This is what New Japan's going to be on. Okay, we'll give it a shot. And it's fantastic. What they have done with it is incredible. Slowly but surely, they added credibility and reputation to it and did really great with it. Mass Gamer says, NWA sub numbers, high or low? I'm going to say low. Sheila says, if a wrestler was granted their release, can they choose to negotiate or forego the 90-day no-compete clause like Andrade did? I always assume that was that there's no no-compete clause if the contract ends like it did with Mox. Yes, if a contract ends, there is no 90 days. The 90-day, I believe, is written into a contract in the event that WWE terminates it early as a thing for both of them. There have been some that have negotiated passing that up, and I know that there were a couple of people that asked to forego their 90 days this go around. They did not get a reply to their request. Reggie says, I recently found out who Rockin' Robin was. She has the fourth longest women's championship reign at 502 days. Granted, she only wrestled three times according to Pro Fight DB. Do you know why she's never mentioned by WWE or not in the Hall of Fame? So for those of you who don't know, Rockin' Robin was a very young phenom. She was the daughter of Grizzly Smith, brother of Sam Houston, Jake the Snake Roberts, And from what I remember, she was like a young phenom. She's only in her mid-50s right now. Hasn't wrestled since 92, and I'm pretty sure she's actually younger than like Billy Gunn. I do not know why they don't mention her. I do not know why she's not referenced. I don't know why none of that happened. So she did not wrestle just three times. That was not the case. She beat Sherry for the title. Gosh, I want to say in 88, she beat Sherry for the title at some point. And they wrestled several house shows. Now, she wasn't on TV, like, at all. But she was wrestling Sensational Sherry and Judy Martin, like, weekly. It was just them, though. Nobody else. And then I think at one point, she wrestled Moolah. But they took the title off of her. It was, like, inactivity or something like that. But I don't know. I'm going to try to find out, though. That's a really good question, and not one that I've ever had brought up to me. I'm going to find out why that happened. That is a fantastic question. Now you can tell that like I'm baffled by it, and I'm trying to remember, like, have I heard anything along the way? That's a name that has never been brought up to me in my 11 years of covering wrestling. Mass Gamer says, MLW, will they still have their weekly show on YouTube in the spring? Well, it says that they're doing like a season thing. They're going to give the wrestlers a break. I imagine they'll have some sort of content, knowing them, but I just don't know what. I'll ask, though. WrestleOps on Twitter says, is there any update on Billie Kay's situation? As if you heard anything about her future in wrestling currently? One wrestler told me that she might need to clear up some visa issues. Like, for example, Peyton Royce is married. She's in the States. But if Billie Kay has the same kind of visa that Chelsea Green has, then she's going to have to get that visa, get a new visa or something like that. So that is a concern to me. Regarding NXT call-ups, usually we get them after Mania. So were there any that you were told were going to be called up? I wasn't told who would be called up, but I was told that there were going to be call-ups. Now, that was last week. None of them have popped up. They have done some shuffling of other members of the roster. Jeremy says, where's all this Impact AEW stuff going? Because if it's just the Omega and Good Brothers, then can this be considered a waste of everybody's time? No, I think it's having Omega on Impact and having the Good Brothers on AEW TV is not a waste of anybody's time. And I think it is to add more reinforcements to the eventual coronation of Adam Hangman Page. I think that's the ultimate endgame for AEW in this. Have you found out any details on the May 5th Blood and Guts being a one-match show and how that's going to look or be done? No, I haven't, but I'm very excited about it, and I want to see how they pull it off. I believe in their ability to pull something like this off, and I'm naturally curious. I don't have the answers to that one. I have asked, and they're keeping that close to the vest, as they probably should, because that's part of the reason why people will tune in to watch it. Thank you to Fightful always busting ass and giving us the best fucking content covering wrestling. Hey, we care about accuracy, and that has been a domino effect. More people have come to us for that reason. So thank you all very much for doing that. Mike says, if you could change one AEW finisher, whose would you change, why, and what would you change it to? I would change Miro's away from the accolade or the game over. I've never liked that as a finish. I just think he's capable of so much more. I think he does need a couple of spots that are a little more flashy. Like, he's got that good spinning side slam. I think that one would be cool. I think that if he adopted the black hole slam, that would be very, very good as well. I feel like he needs a couple of just very, or not even very flashy, but kind of flashy slams to add to things. Because it's pretty basic, and he's very good at that stuff, but I think that if he had something like that, it would really, really help. Even like adding a full Nelson slam to it would help set him over the top. I love the direction they're going with him, though. JJ says, why wasn't Rich Swann on AEW programming? Have a nice day. I'm trying to find that out. I wish I had these AEW Impact answers for you. I'm hoping I'll know after this weekend. People are usually more willing to tell me about why things happened after than before. Do you think the prospect of a draft involving AEW's various factions is a viable idea? Perhaps they paired it with the Prospect Tournament. a prospect draft, rather. That's a kind of a good idea. But ultimately, wrestlers got to want to join that faction. But Jim, I don't think it's a bad idea, because AEW is doing things way different already, so why not just continue to do things different? Mike says, WWE reported an 11.5% drop in revenue Q1 2021 to 2020. Viewership on Raw is obviously way down. What do you think the breaking point will be for them to stop insulting the viewers with shit storylines? I don't think there is a breaking point right now. They've got billions and billions of dollars of guaranteed money, and it's very clear, despite the fact that they've got those deals, they think there are quick fixes. They think that a wild card, a brand-to-brand invitational, Raw, Underground, Retribution, a shake-up, a draft, a You Are the Authority, a Raw Dark, they think all those things, a wild card, they think all those things are the quick fixes instead of just booking better. I wish I had the answer to that. Will the next Fightful Mag still be available for digital, or will it be just print? It'll be available digital as well. I have heard that you say higher ratings equals more money, which is true. It just might be me, but Vince feels like Vince is happy with the guaranteed amount the TV deals always bring in. It's like he's finding this plateau. What do you think? Yep, it sure seems like it. Completely with you there. Ben says, with the amount of women AEW now have had and their focus on tag team wrestling, have you heard anything about women's tag titles? And would you think it's a mistake if they're not introduced soon? Eva Lee's not working out for them is a big hit to that, because her and Diamante were a good team. I've not heard about that on the horizon. I know that the C-Stars were hoping there would be a tournament again this year, and they wanted to be a part of it. Considering how many more titles the men have on AEW, do you think it'd be a bad look if they introduced those trios titles before the women get something else to fight for? Yes, I do. I don't think it'd be a real bad look, but I don't think it'd be a great look. But yes, whose call was the WrestleMania edition to Backlash, and for what? It's for branding purposes, it's for SEO, and I'm not sure who made that call. When I asked, I was heard it's probably the marketing department. But it wasn't anybody specific that I was given that answer to. Reese says, when's Chad Gable's contract up? Where do you think he should go? I think he should freelance. I definitely think he should go to New Japan. But from what I heard this year, I don't know specifically when. I don't know if it's when Dax said. Any speculation on what the card's going to be for Double or Nothing? What would you like to see? I know Britt Baker versus Shida was slated for it. I don't think that Paige and Omega is slated for it, but I could be wrong. I've not heard on what it is, but it all is all speculation. I think we're going to see probably Mox and Kingston against the Young Bucks, so they need to get some wins there. I think we'll probably see a combination, probably see LAX versus FTR there as well. And MJF versus Jericho, I would imagine, again, if they go back there. Any news on Zelina Vega? Nope, not a bit. I don't know anything about where she's going, what she's doing. Did Sami Zayn need to get any form of approval before releasing his own t-shirt for his project? They're supposed to. I don't know if he did, but they're supposed to. But also, what are they going to do? What are they going to say? I mean, I can tell you that WWE talent that does interviews with me and just do them on their own, they never get in trouble. Corey Graves, Seth Rollins, Dana Brooke, EC3, the latter two did interviews with me just on their own. Seth Rollins and Corey Graves gave me on-the-record statements with their names attached to it. Didn't even get a ping from WWE about that. It's one of those better to ask for forgiveness than permission things, and then they don't even have to ask for forgiveness usually. Yeah. Were there ever any plans for Bo Dallas to get a bigger push when he debuted? There were when he originally debuted, when he eliminated Bad News Barrett. There were pretty fairly big plans for him within the context of that. I think he was due for an Intercontinental title run there, but it didn't happen. Yes, there were bigger plans for Bo Leave, but then they got derailed. What's the latest with Velveteen? Not on TV. A lot of people I talk to just don't even see him around. A lot of the roster keep their distance from him. Anakin said, JR said AEW is starting to tour in July or looking to start touring in July. And their website lists dates and locations for August, not at dailies. How optimistic are they that they'll be able to tour in the next few months? They are optimistic, but they have constantly moved that stuff back. Like, their dates have been rescheduled many times. They stopped adding new dates, and they would reschedule their old ones. Like, for example, the Rochester date that was originally supposed to be the debut of Brody Lee, rest his soul, was supposed to be in his hometown, and Matt Hardy was supposed to debut there. It has been rescheduled, and it is still on. Like, that event that was supposed to happen over, like, I think a year ago, or near it, is now scheduled. I think it's September 29th or something like that. But they've got a June date for St. Louis, an August date for Houston. They've moved some stuff around. Matt says, have you heard from any AEW stars comments on the AEW commentary or the company itself not putting over or advertising Impact Rebellion? No, but I'm going to ask about that this weekend. I should have asked more. I should have asked more about that. I apologize. Xanthius says, what do you know about a rift between Cody and the other EVPs? I've heard rumors they haven't been on speaking terms for a while. I don't know anything about that. I'll ask about that. I have seen those tweets. Cody has not been involved in their angles. And, I mean, what can you make of that? I mean, he is quite literally as far from that angle as possible. And he is not on BTE. So, I don't know. I'll ask. I'll see what I can find out. I constantly ask AEW for interviews with Cody, with Tony, and to ask these types of things, and unfortunately I haven't been able to get them. But hopefully something changes, because I would love to interview both Cody and Tony Khan. Tweet them. Let them know. Do you think NXT releases or any others may still happen in WWE in the coming weeks? Yes, I think they could. Any ideas why Tay Conti is not an official member of the Dark Order? Sorry if this is already explained. No, she's an affiliate. She's Anna Jay's best friend on the show, but they have turned into more of a social club than a cult, and you're allowed to be associated even if you're not in there. I don't know why, but I like what they're doing. Like, you don't have to be a full-fledged member to just be friendly. It respects the intelligence. Nonzo says, does Impact have a shot at getting Samoa Joe? I think they have a shot at him doing appearances. I don't think they'll be able to sign him full-time. I would love to be proven wrong there. They need a guy like him. Is there an update on the debut of new Impact Knockouts besides Wild and Ellering? I don't know if they're bringing any in for this next set of tapings. There's one I'm going to report on very soon once I get a confirmation that I don't think is anywhere near signing or near debuting. Like, for example, I reported the Ellering thing a month ago, and she just debuted tonight. And Wild, I think I reported her. She reported to me. She told me that she was coming back in like July. Marky Mark says, any info on what TNT considers good viewership and ratings number for the unopposed Dynamite? Well, they were happy opposed with 700,000-800,000. So I would imagine they would be happy with this. I know AEW has been happy based on the people that I've talked to. Cameron says, whose Stan accounts do you least want to piss off? Sasha Banks and Liv Morgan. I get along with a lot of Sasha stans, and Liv Morgan stans are usually pretty normal people. Pretty normal people. Pretty funny people. I'll tell you that much. Funny as fuck. Live or Leave Taryn on Twitter is one of the funniest humans I've ever seen in my entire life, without a doubt. So, I mean, if you want a blanket statement, all of them with her track record, go ahead. But, yeah, wouldn't want her on my, I wouldn't want to be on her bad side. That's for sure. Marky Mark says AEW seems to be building groups, teams for the women's division. Any news on if women's tag titles are coming soon? Don't know, but like I said, that tournament, there are a lot of women that won it. Have you done any interviews with bookers? Asks Charlie, specifically on booking. Curious to see their psychology behind matchmaking. I interviewed a bunch of people related to the booking situations about Inside the Rumble. But yeah, I've interviewed Bruce Pritchard in the past, Eric Bischoff in the past, Court Bauer, Felix of WXW, Brett Lauderdale of GCW, Scott Loss, who helped put together a lot of the PWG stuff back in the day, Jeff Jarrett, who did an incredible amount of booking over there in TNA and Impact. I am so stoked for his new podcast. Conrad keeps coming out with fantastic stuff, and I will be there every week for that Jeff Jarrett podcast. Can't wait for that. So yeah, several. It's not always just about simply booking, but I might start a series like that. What is the most baffling thing a source has told you? Unfortunately, I can't tell you the most baffling thing a source has told me because so often conversations are off the record, which means that if somebody says this is off the record, I can't use it. They say, hey, kayfabe this, that works too. What I can do is try to get that information on the record from somebody else without using that person's name. But there are lots of things that people, you know what? I'll tell you the most baffling thing that somebody has told me on the record. And that was Court Bauer telling me about how a wrestler got taped to the wall and pissed all over in WWF in the 90s. Yeah. There you go. Oh. Jake says, what streaming services do you usually find most user-friendly? WWE Network, Peacock, UFC Fight Pass, or New Japan World? Fight Pass, without a doubt. It's by far the easiest. Yeah. Fight TV is actually the best. Dev says, do you think WWE will ever have to face reckoning how they treat their female legends? Yep. Let me tell you, and Dev, I know you're a big women's wrestling fan. I don't think it's a coincidence that so many of those female wrestlers wrapped up their careers right around the ripe old age of 30. And if you can't sense the sarcasm, it's because that ain't a ripe fucking old age. That ain't even the prime of your athletic life yet. Ain't anywhere near it. Look at what Mickie James said right before she got fired. The double standard. Tamina Snuka is doing the best work of her life in her 40s. And you would be hard-pressed 6, 7, 10 years ago to find women that would stick around past 30, 31. I don't know if that was something that was ingrained in the culture there. I don't know if they didn't feel comfortable doing that. I know I'm going to talk to a hell of a lot more women about it. It's a conversation that I'm going to have with a lot of the female contacts that I have because that WWE should have done everything they could to keep a hold of a lot of those women. They really, really should. They had the tools in place to have a women's revolution long before they had one. This could have been happening in 2002, 2003. Dev says, I watched AEW for the first time ever yesterday and commentary really ruined the experience for me. Not wishing for anyone to lose their job, but how much longer do you see JR in his position? I think till the end of his current contract. They have a robust roster of very accomplished commentators. Jim Ross signed a 3-year contract ahead of Double or Nothing a couple of years ago, so he would at least be there probably through that. And then by then, I think they'll probably transition him into something else. Gohan says, Sean, could you please explain the process of a WWE feud? From talking to Vince, the production side, preparation and training, finally the match and after, maybe something Jimmy could help with or discuss on a different show. Well, it would have to be something that I dedicate probably a full show to, and I would have to talk to a wrestler specifically about that, but it gets pitched, it comes up in creative, then it gets to a creative meeting, then Vince tells you if he likes it or not, he tells you to write it, it gets written, Vince tells you if he likes what the writing is. You go, you take that to a wrestler. I think a wrestler gets a heads up somewhere then. They give a little bit of feedback. The agent gets involved in how they're going to set it up. They run through it. They do the spots, and the process repeats itself But I will set up an interview sometime and go through things like that. And I'm open to doing that with other things. If you guys want to learn the process of like a wrestler figuring out their theme song, I might do a full series like just where we figure that shit out. And I think that's awesome. My favorite part about this job is learning. And anything you guys want me to learn with you guys, I'm down for. I get to learn this shit from the people who know about wrestling the best. And that's like dope as hell to me. And if I can help you guys learn some stuff by asking these questions, I'm here for it, man. I love it. I love that question. Paul Moss says, what are your thoughts on the pre-match promos ROH have been doing for their weekly TV matches since they returned from the pandemic? In the beginning, I really liked that we were getting to hear more from the wrestlers, but I now wonder if they're too long, because we rarely get more than two matches a week on an episode. Well, they got to work smarter, not harder. You know what I mean? They got to maximize the amount of content they get and make it make financial sense. So, you know what? I respect making something out of nothing. If you guys haven't noticed, when I do an interview, I'm giving you guys the heads up. You all get the jump on select. Then the early access people get to check it out before that. I run an interview. I run Twitter clips. I run about five or six freaking articles out of it. I put it in the weekly. I maximize that content, and that's what they're doing. So I respect that. I like it. You get to see who when crowds come back, you need to look out for. Paul also says, having a great women's division seems to be there for the taking for ROH this summer. Should they have the motivation and backing from Sinclair to do so? Outside of the obvious, needing them to make the full court press on Chelsea Green to bring her in, have you heard any rumors and any other high-profile names they might be looking to bring in? Yes, I have, first off. And Chelsea, I don't think they need to make a full court press on Chelsea. Chelsea wants to work there. She told me she wants to work there. She's all for it. That she said that's the one thing that she hasn't done. She worked all in, which she considers like a precursor to AEW, as most people should, right? But she wants to work there, but I have heard of them reaching out to at least some names there on that list. I'll say that without getting anybody in trouble. Chris Rain says, Jillian Hall mentioned on Mickey James' Instagram post, I thought it was just me, so this was not an isolated incident about the trash bags. Was Mickey just the first one to make it public? Yes, she was. No, it wasn't an isolated incident. Bryson says, not a question, missed the gun this week. Sean and the Fightful team, you all have worked so hard in the last few weeks, so thank you all for doing so. Thank you all for caring. And legitimately, I don't know if they're going to listen to this. Thank you, Gisberto, Ryan, Robert DeFelice, Robert Wilkins, Bobby Wilkins, Kyler, Jeremy Lambert. Everybody worked so hard, and I'm not omitting people, but those are the people that were on the news beat and the social media beat. And I want to thank them specifically. And we got one question that was a replacement in. Who would I pick to win Money in the Bank? Seth Rollins. And for the women's side, Charlotte. That's who I'd go with. Guys, thank you all so much. Sorry for the amount of time between these. I appreciate you all. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm out.